for the most part, people are good and trustworthy. But unfortunately, there are some that are looking for an opportunity to take advantage of us. Life experience can help us act wisely in those situations. But what about when a young person is heading off to college for the first time? They may not have a lot to go on to keep them safe. Hi, I'm Judith Sears Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Sandy Chalmers is the administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. Sandy, thanks again for spending time with us.
Thank you, Judith.
And Michelle Reinen is director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection. Michelle, it's always great to have you here, too.
Thank you. It's our pleasure to be here.
Well, we always have plenty to talk about, and we certainly encourage our listeners to join in by calling 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org or post a question or comment on our Facebook page. And we'll be talking about keeping young people's identity safe, but a lot of it applies to all of us. And we'll also be talking about some current scams that have been making the rounds in Wisconsin. Well, a lot of families are getting ready to send kids off to college. And for most of those kids, it's the first time they're living on their own. Is there a risk of identity theft in that situation, Sandy?
Yes, unfortunately there is. And that kids in that age group, like 18 to 25, are actually targeted by identity thieves. And the reason is they're new consumers. They don't always check their bank account statements and their credit card statements. So the statistics show that if you compare the average person of that age who's been a victim of identity theft against all other victims, the college student takes twice as long to detect that an identity theft has occurred, which means money in the pocket to the thief, of course.
I'm assuming the longer it takes to detect, the harder it is to track it. And
absolutely. And the more time there is for the fraud to occur and the dollars to ring up. Things that apply specifically to college kids, you know, they often live in communal type settings where theft of property can be an issue. They don't always shred their personal documents. And then, of course, the other thing is that they live their lives online. They're connected in that way much more than other age groups. So that creates another opportunity for identity thieves. Some things we recommend, remind your college students to lock their dorm rooms and use passwords, you know, think of that password as a lock on their tablets or laptops or smartphones. And then, you know, the same kinds of things apply to college students that apply to the rest of us. Protect your personal information and check your credit reports on a regular basis. You know, those are the two things that you really have to do to keep yourself protected from identity theft.
Well, I think also thinking of the average college student's day, I mean, for a lot of us that are working, we leave home, maybe we take the bus or drive or walk or bike, but then we're at work. And, you know, most of us have figured out, you know, ways to keep our wallets safe when we're at the office or wherever it is we work. And then for the most part, maybe with a few stops in between, but then we're at home, whereas college students are moving from classroom to classroom and stopping at their friend's house and stopping at the cafeteria and maybe going and working out and going out in the evening. It just seems like their wallet or wherever they're keeping their maybe their backpack is going to be in a lot more places in a single day than a lot of our things are.
That's probably true. So one thing you can tell your college-age student is keep the number of credit cards you carry with you in your purse or wallet to a minimum. Never carry your Social Security card with you. And make sure, I mean, keeping your personal devices, your laptop, iPad, whatever, keeping that locked down with a really strong password is absolutely critical.
And I think also, you know, some young people might be hesitant to act like they're paranoid in front of their friends or their roommates, but it's not necessarily their roommates that are suspicious. It's all the people that might be coming and going, say, in a dorm room.
Absolutely, or coming through your apartment. It's a good idea to have a lockbox in your dorm room for your valuables. You know, that may deter a thief. And, you know, I asked my son whether there's a shredder in his dorm, and he said, well, I don't really know. And I said, well, I think you should check that out. Mm-hmm. Something that also is an issue for college-age kids is that they tend to be targeted by these pre-approved credit card offers. And when you're moving from dorm to dorm or dorm to apartment to dorm, sometimes your mail doesn't keep up with you. And that's a very easy way for a thief to fill out that form and return it, change the address, and before you know it, you have credit card accounts opened in your name.
So, Michelle, what are the different ways that once someone has that personal data and basically your identity, what are the different ways that they can use that?
Well, depending upon what information they have, it can be as simple as they have your credit card number, and now they're going to go online and make lots of purchases under your credit card account. That's one form of identity theft, just straight theft of your financial information. Then they have your social security number, they can go out and try and get employment and change the name that's tied to the social security number, and then that can change things for you in your future when you're trying to get extensions of credit or get your own job or come tax time when you need to do proper reporting for any work that you've done. So that's another way that they can harm you. Depending upon what information they have or combination of information they have, they could do something to your medical records as well, and that could be life-threatening in a certain situation. So if they've gotten a hold of your insurance card and then tied it and switched that up, you have a certain condition, an allergy to a medication, but the thief goes in with that and, no, I'm fine, I don't have that allergy. It could change your medical records in the chart. Next time you're in as yourself and unconscious, then they could give you a drug that could be life-threatening to you. So there's lots of implications down the road, whether it be employment, taxes, financial, or medical, that can happen depending upon what they've obtained. So you need to be really careful with what's in your wallet, as Sandy mentioned, or what you post online, because all those little bits and pieces can be put together and combined and cause a lot of havoc down the road.
Well, and you were saying they could actually use your credit card if they get the number, but they could also apply for credit cards in your name. And I'm guessing that if they're willing to do that, they're probably not going to be paying those credit cards. So that could impact your credit for a long time.
Right. Absolutely. That goes back to your credit report. So monitoring that regularly, because if they've gotten that combination of information and started to take extensions of credit out in your name, they change the address, you don't pay the bills, maybe rent an apartment in your name that way as well, you could have a lot of bad debt collected in your name, and then trying to reverse all that when it's time for graduation, getting a student loan, you want a new car, all sorts of things. You could have a long road ahead of you in trying to make those corrections.
And, I mean, we're focusing on college students because a lot of them are going to be heading out for the first time, but in general, this is just a huge problem, isn't it, Sandy?
It's identity theft is one of the fastest growing crimes in the country, and it made our consumer complaint top 10 list for the first time 2 years ago, and moved up the list last year for us. So even in Wisconsin, we're seeing that it's quite a serious problem.
Well, and I was just reading in some of the material that you provided for me, it affects about 10 million Americans each year and $5 billion in losses. Michelle, that's really significant.
It's huge, and it's growing every year as far as the number of Wisconsin consumers or nationally that are impacted. And identity theft can even, I mean, these numbers are about consumers and people. Identity theft can branch into businesses as well. So it is a huge and growing number.
We're talking with Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers from the Division of the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection about being savvy consumers and what to do if we find out our ID has been stolen or if we feel like we've been the victim of a scam. Are you sending a child off to college this fall? Do you feel comfortable in knowing what to tell them about keeping their identity safe? Or maybe you've been the victim of a scam that offered something for nothing and you think you might have avoided it? We'd love to hear from you when you call 1-800-642-1000 1234. Again, 800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org. Now, for younger kids, it's, and even though they would probably be not too happy to hear this, back to school time is not all that far off. And so a lot of families will be shopping, whether it's for clothes or school supplies or other things. What is it, what's important to keep in mind when we're doing that back to school shopping? Sandy?
Well, back to school sales are always interesting. You know, there are a lot of stores run sales that last for a morning or an hour, or, you know, they're rolling sales. So Wisconsin law is that the consumer pays the lowest advertised price and the store has to refund any difference. So it's really important that you write down the prices of the sales or keep track of it with your smartphone or however you want to do it while you shop. And watch that, watch the display when it rings up to make sure that you're being charged accurately. If there is a pricing error, you should work with the customer service at the store to get a refund while you're in the shop. I mean, that's the best and easiest way. But double check your receipt to make sure that you were charged accurately. If you are unable to resolve the issue, you can give us a call and we'll send an inspector out to work with the store to make sure that they are selling, charging the advertised price.
And Michelle, are there any regulations saying that you always have the ability to return things within a certain amount of time, or is that really up to the store's discretion?
There is no specific law about returns in the state of Wisconsin, so consumers should check that out in advance before they make their purchase. Know the return policy because it can vary from store to store to store, but whatever they say the return policy is, they need to honor that policy as well. So make sure you understand the details. Is it 30 days, 60 days, 90 days? No returns on clearance, no returns on seasonal sales. Just make sure you understand those details.
And whether you can return only with a receipt or if you don't have the receipt, store credit, things like that.
Right. And some stores actually allow you to print a duplicate receipt now. You can scan the credit card you used and get a duplicate receipt should you lose one. Just know the store you're working with.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the back to school items, are there any particularly kind of iffy practices that you've seen or heard about, Sandy, that people should be aware of?
Well, the good news is that 98.7% of the time in this state, price scanners are accurate. Hmm. So that, or they're either accurate or to the benefit of the consumer. So that's good news for consumers, and they should have confidence. But it, you know, sometimes it pays to be careful because people spend hundreds of dollars on back to clothing and school supplies and everything. But it's a good idea, especially when you're shopping for school supplies, when they have so many things discounted and different varieties of sales at any time of any
right.
day, to keep track of the prices.
And do you also recommend checking those receipts against the credit card when the bill comes, or for the most part, whatever is on the receipt, do you generally see that matches on your credit card?
I think as a regular practice, you should just be checking your credit card to make sure that you don't have any charges on your credit card that you didn't authorize or weren't purchases made by yourself. That goes back to the identity theft that we were just talking about earlier. So just as a common practice, but sure, glitches can happen, mistakes can happen. So it especially if you have to use the cash register over here and then swipe the card over here and it's not a connected system, mm-hmm. that nothing was punched wrong, and always check before you sign your slip to make sure the totals match and things. Those are just good monitoring practices.
We're talking about consumer protection today. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson sitting in for Larry Mueller, and you're welcome to join us by calling 1-800-642-1234. Lots more great consumer information coming up in just a moment. And let's go to Alex in Waukesha. Hi, Alex.
Hi, I had a question. My brother got his passport. Well, he got his wallet stolen. But, like, instead of having his driver's license in there, there's a passport ID in there. So, I mean, he canceled all his cards right away, did all that. And then even like, you know, like he had an account number for a bank, he canceled that right away. He lost over the weekend, so nothing happened. But is there any possibility of getting your identity stolen just because of the passport? It has no address, just the birthday, maybe like a passport number and like city of birth, but that's it.
Yeah. All right, Sandy?
I believe the State Department keeps pretty close tabs on people's passports. And if you check online, I'm sure the State Department would want you to report the theft or the loss of a passport. And that that's more terrorism-type things,
right.
I think.
Right.
They can't open up like a card or anything like that with that information, right?
Like starting a credit card account or something like that?
Well, my fear is that often on the I-9 employment forms, you can use a passport or a driver's license as your identity with a Social Security number. So maybe it's not extension of credit that can be used, but it's other forms of identity theft that are at risk or a potential. So I would make sure that that's reported and a new one obtained and that you're monitoring and tracking that on your Social Security annual statement and things that there aren't different forms of employment there.
Because a passport is actually kind of the most official ID, so I'm guessing you could use that to go and get other things like a driver's license, which you could then use.
Right.
Kind of, you know, it's kind of that sequential.
That snowball effect.
Thing. Also, Alex, did he file a police report for that?
No.
Okay, because my passport was actually stolen about 20 years ago in Russia, and to get a new passport, I had to prove that I'd actually filed a police report to show it. So that's something to think about as well.
And to do other things, put a security freeze on his credit report, he will need a police report to show he's a victim of identity theft. So that police report for that incident will lend useful in many circumstances as he moves forward.
All right. Thanks for that call, Alex. And let's go next to Vicki in Wausau. Hi, Vicki.
Hello. I just had a quick question about sales, doorbuster sales at early morning department stores. I work and can never make those sales, but when I show up later in the day, they don't honor the prices. Is it legal in the state of Wisconsin for stores to have different prices for the same item over the course of one day?
There is, as long as it's advertised. And so if the doorbuster clearly states the hours that the sale is available, that low price, then that's what they can honor. The thing you'll want to monitor is to make sure that the shelf price within the store also changed or is reflective of a current price. So it's the lowest advertised price, and that can be the ad, the flyer, or what's actually on the shelf or the display rack as well. And just make sure you're getting the current price within the hours and time frame that are available.
Okay, but isn't that discriminatory to people that work and can't make those hours? It seems like it shouldn't be illegal to do that.
Well, there aren't any laws against it. You may talk to the store manager and see whether they're willing to do something for you, you know, especially if you're a regular customer of that store. But otherwise, there is no regulation of how stores run their sales.
All right. Thanks for that call, Vicki. You can join in as well by calling 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Our on-air producer, Dave Potraz, will be happy to answer your call. And he will also be happy to get your emails into us if you send them to talk@wpr.org. Marianne in Superior is up next. Hi, Marianne.
Good morning. Recently, I had my credit card compromised, and I received a call from the fraud department from the credit card company. And what had happened is the individual charged about $500 worth of groceries at a Houston, Texas store, and then that was red flagged because that was not in our shopping area. We did not shop in that area. And then they also charged a couple of dollar charge, $1.98, and we figured they were trying to see if they had went over it. Maybe the first charge was too much, and maybe they could get a smaller charges and continue using the card. That also was red flagged. However, what they told me is they literally had a card in hand. I had both of my credit cards with me, but they had a card in hand that they swiped on a machine. Hmm. And when they called me from the fraud department, I did not return that call to that number because I did not know it was a scam. So what I did is I called the number on the back of my credit card. I found out that it was legitimate, but I was apprehensive to call this, quote, fraud department because I did not know if that was somebody that was saying they were a fraud department and wanted more information.
So, Michelle, is that did Marianne do the right thing there?
Marianne did a great job. First, never, you know, return those calls that could be in question. She used the information she had at hand to reach her credit card company. And if something is legitimately going on with the credit card company, they'll be able to connect you pathwise. As far as what happened to her, that's another great example of how a lot of identity thefts steal credit card numbers. There may have been a skimmer or some device hooked up somewhere where Marianne had swiped her card, whether it be a gas station or someplace along the way at a restaurant or maybe even offline through a hacking mechanism, where the identity thefts then took the information electronically and made a new card. They put it on a new blank card.
Because that's what really stood out to me was that they said that they actually had a physical card.
Right, in hand. And the way that they test to see if they've gotten it right is through purchases at gas stations, grocery stores, quick, easy, everyday kinds of purchases. And then they know they have a good working card and can either turn around and sell it or they turn around and use it and really jack up the prices for the original consumer until it's caught by either the consumer or the credit card company. And a lot of credit card companies are doing those red flags. So we recommend that if you're going to travel outside your normal purchase area, you call the credit card company in advance so you don't get stranded for types of situations. And they'll ask, how long are you going? Where are you going? Cities.
And Marianne, what was the follow-up after you did contact the fraud department? What did you have to do then?
Then what they did is they indicated to shred my cards, that they would send me new cards, which they did. They are to be following up with information if they get any more information in regards to that. But as I said, I actually had my social security number on two government entities that sent out some information, but my social security card number was on the outside of the envelopes. And I had to freeze my credit report. This happened about 6 or 7 years ago. I have not unfrozen that, but that is also, if anybody wants to get credit information on me, they're unable to do that because of the credit card freeze. It's inconvenient for me if I need to charge because I have to unfreeze it for a few days, but it gives me a level of protection.
Great. Thanks for that, Marianne. And Sandy, since Marianne brought up the idea of freezing your credit reports, why don't you give our listeners just kind of a brief summary of what that is and why people might want to do that?
Mm-hmm. Sure. A credit freeze means that potential creditors can't get your credit report. So it makes it more difficult for somebody to open an account in your name fraudulently. And under Wisconsin law, it costs $10 to place a credit freeze. But as Michelle said earlier, if you have a police report saying that you've been a victim of identity theft, it's free of charge. And so if you suspect that you've been victimized by an identity thief, placing a credit freeze is definitely the best first step. And the other thing I might mention to Marianne is that if she does business online, she may want to check her computer for, it may have been hacked. It is so easy now to download, without knowing it, download software that captures your keystrokes and things like credit card numbers. So it wouldn't be a bad idea for her to check that, since it sounds like she's monitoring her credit report on a regular basis.
Now, when you say it's $10 to freeze your credit report, Marianne was saying that, you know, it's inconvenient because when she does need to let someone check the credit report, then she has to unfreeze it. So is it $10 every time you make that change?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's an investment in knowing that your identity is safe.
Correct.
Well, thanks for that call, Marianne. Let's go next to Kathy in Milwaukee. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I'm calling in reference to the fellow who was concerned about his passport being stolen.
Right.
I'm surprised your guest did not mention that since 2006, I believe, since the Patriot Act went into effect, a chip has been put into our passports with all of our information. And I learned this inadvertently when my husband and I went on a trip this spring, and I went to the travel store, and he advised me to get a protective cover for my passport because this chip can not only be stolen and the information taken off of it, but it can be scanned from up to 10 feet away. And I'm also very surprised that a lot of people don't know about this. Only when I start to ask people about it, and especially people who are well-traveled, they don't believe me until they look it up online.
All right. Well, thanks for that, Kathy. And Sandy, did you want to
comment on
that?
Yeah, that's a great point she's making. You can buy passport pouches now that block it from being, that chip from being scanned. But I have heard of people's credit cards being scanned, you know, while they're in their wallets or purses. So if this is a technology that's going to become more prevalent for thieves, you may want to look at buying a little metal pouch for your credit cards and passport, or some way. There are many ways to protect that chip from being scanned.
And so this chip that's on the passports, what information exactly is on it?
I can't tell you that exactly, but I just traveled overseas and I was careful to buy a little pouch that had, I think it's called RFID protection, so that the chip cannot be scanned.
And I don't mean to sound alarmist, but, you know, it just seems like the technology that the thieves are using is advancing so quickly, and it doesn't seem like we're able to keep up with it or to combat it very much. I mean, Michelle, are we ever going to be in a position where we're not kind of playing catch up?
Well, we've been talking about that through the history of consumer protection. There's always going to be someone out there trying to figure out the next step, next scam, and this is a phase that technology plays as well. So when you decide to use different technologies, you have to be vigilant about what information you're sharing out there and what risk level you're willing to take, and then how much protection you need to combat against it. So personally, I try to really limit the amount of personal information I share online, but there's always some. And then so what level of security do I need to put behind it because of how much time it does take to do that? So
we're talking about consumer protection with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And we would welcome your calls at 1-800-642-1234 if you have a question about a potential scam that you think you might have avoided, or perhaps one that you fell victim to and want to know what you should be doing now afterwards. Also, if you have questions about perhaps a particular kind of business transaction that you're thinking of doing and you want to know how to do it in the most savvy and consumer smart way, that's 1-800-642-1234 or email at talk@wpr.org. Sandy, a caller said he's requested a credit score recently and asks how long it generally takes to get that information back in the mail.
I am not sure. I would say within a couple of weeks, probably. But the three credit reporting agencies probably have different internal processes and but I would say within a couple of weeks. And you can always call and ask, you know, what the status is if you have any questions.
And Michelle, since the caller brought up requesting a credit score, why don't you give people the overview of how often they can get those credit scores for free and what they should be checking for?
Well, the difference here is a credit score is actually what the bank uses to determine if you're a good risk. What consumers can get for free once
a
year.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking credit report.
Right, exactly. What consumers can get free once a year from each of the three credit reporting agencies is a credit report. So what we advise consumers is to get one from each of the credit reporting agencies once every 4 months, so that way you're doing a continual monitoring, and that you actually take a look, make sure the address is accurate, make sure the number of credit cards listed is what you actually have, make sure that the loans that you may have, mortgage, car loan, whatever it is accurate, and that there isn't any misinformation. Oftentimes they list utility bills and other things and give you that indication. Make sure all of that is right. And again, you can get that information at annualcreditreport.com. And just pick which credit reporting agency you want to do and keep track so you don't get more than one from each once a year.
And we've talked about this before, too, that if someone is married, both spouses should be doing that, not just one, because some things might show up on both, but you want to make sure that both of you, that your identities are safe.
Right. Absolutely.
All right. Let's go back to the phones and Paul in Madison. Hi, Paul.
Hello. Our church today received a long-distance telephone bill from our phone provider, and there's $4,600 of phone calls all made to the same number ending in 1,000 in St. Helena, wherever that is. We're going to call the police and file a report. We called the provider, and they weren't very helpful. We said, well, obviously, we wouldn't have done this. All the phone calls were made in within 3 days of each other to the same number. Wondering if you have any advice for us.
All right. Sandy?
I think you've done the right thing here by letting law enforcement know. And keep after your telephone provider. If you can't get the situation resolved, by all means, file a consumer complaint with us. And the number to call is 1-800-422-7128. This could be a number of... I can imagine a number of situations where, you know, behind this. So,
and what are some of the possibilities? I mean, obviously someone could have been using the phone.
Somebody in the building. I mean, that's the most obvious one. A cleaning person or somebody in the building after hours. But somebody could have stolen the number. If there's a credit card, a phone credit card, that may have been stolen. So,
like a calling card.
Yeah. Do follow up with your telephone provider.
And as you said, there can always be a complaint filed if the phone company is not being responsive. Besides the phone number, we also have a direct link to the consumer complaint and consumer protection section on our Facebook page, and that's The Larry Mehler Show, and Mehler is spelled M-E-I-L-L-E-R. And let's go next to Jerry in Menasha. Hi, Jerry.
Hi. I'm sort of on the horns of a dilemma. I have had a major credit card with the same company for many, many years, and they charge an annual fee. Recently, my bank has put into effect a program with the same credit card company, but they don't charge a fee. I understand that if I should cancel the first card, it might compromise my credit in general. If I cancel the first one and go to the one my bank has to offer, it might compromise my credit. And if I kept the first card but didn't put anything on it, would they continue to charge me that annual fee on that first card?
All right. Well, let's see what Michelle has to say.
As to the fee, chances are, yes, they will continue to charge you the annual fee, whether you use the card or not. There could be this period of time where years you don't use the card, and then they'll send you a letter saying, use this card or we're going to drop you as a client. That's occurred in cases in fine, you don't have to pay the fee, you don't have the card. As to the credit report and your score and how that impacts, as I understand it, credit scores are deciphered from a huge algorithm, but part of what goes into that is how much available credit do you have in your possession? So how many credit cards do you have? How high are those limits? Do you have five cards at $10,000 each? So you have the potential to be very extended, and that will take your score down versus a very strong history of paying your bills on time, reasonable lines of credit and limits to you. So if you're canceling a card and moving to another one versus taking out a second one, that can reflect more favorably, especially if you are canceling your credit card on good terms. You're not in debt with them. You're paying your bills regularly, and it's all a very positive relationship, and you're just choosing to go with another store, basically. You're choosing to shop somewhere else. So I don't know that that impacts you negatively.
I think one of the things they do look at is how long your individual credit accounts have been open. So perhaps there would be a very slight change, tick down, mm-hmm. because all of a sudden this long-term credit card is gone and there's a brand new one. But as you said, Michelle, it's just one little piece of the whole,
right.
whole picture.
And it really depends on where Jerry's at in needing to go get a mortgage, refinance, buy a car. When will this score, if it takes a tick down, reflect and correct itself if you're not in a position where you're going to need an ultimate score right now? It might be a perfect time.
Does that answer your question, Jerry?
Yes, thank you very much.
All right, thanks so much for that call. We are talking with Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers from the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Lots more great information to come. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller, and we are talking about consumer protection, how to be smart, savvy consumers, and what to do if we do fall victim to a scam. And there are some open lines, so you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Maybe you've noticed a fraudulent charge on a credit card, or you feel like some provider, maybe phone or internet or some other service, has not charged you as they said they would. We'd love to hear your experiences, and Sandy and Michelle would love to offer their advice as well. Let's go back to the phones and Beth in Brookfield. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
What's your question?
My question is, I have purchased new furniture. The furniture that I sat in the showroom was much more heavily padded than the furniture that I received. And I'm wondering what I can do about it.
So it sounds like kind of a bait and switch?
Right. It's like they had a certain level of quality in the showroom, which I did not receive.
All right. Michelle, what do you think?
Well, I'm wondering if Beth has actually talked to the store manager or her salesperson about her concern at this point.
No, I haven't. That's why I'm going to do that now. But I was wondering just how I should approach that.
Sure.
I would, just as you talk to us, I would talk to either your salesperson or the store manager and bring your concern to light about them. You know, is the other one firmer? What's going on? Why is there this difference? And you have great concerns, and see what they're willing to do for you. Sometimes they have technicians come out and look and fix the stuffing or the padding or different things that way. If you don't get any result from that, you could file a complaint with our agency, and we can communicate with the company and see what can happen there and if there was any kind of quality issues that we're able to follow up on.
And I would certainly say make sure you're talking to, start with the salesperson perhaps, because they had the relationship with you. But if they don't satisfy you, keep going up the ladder as far as you can, because I think often like a store manager is going to be very concerned about having a happy customer.
Exactly. Always work your way up the line if you can.
And Beth, is this a company or a store that you've purchased from before?
Actually, it is not. It is a company local, but I had never purchased anything from them before. One of the things that somebody had mentioned to me is because I had purchased it with my credit card, that if I don't get satisfaction from the store, I can call my credit card and tell them what the problem is and that I didn't receive what I thought I was going to get.
Is that another avenue, Michelle?
Right. When you purchase things with credit cards, you always have the right within 60 days of the posting on your bill to file a dispute to the charges with the credit card company, and they'll do an evaluation to determine. So when you don't get goods you've purchased, those are almost automatics that credit card companies will step in. When it becomes a quality issue, they'll be a little bit more back and forth and looking at by the credit card company. So definitely be communicating with the store because that will also show what you've done if you file that dispute. But you have to file your dispute within the appropriate time period and in accordance with whatever procedure your credit card company has.
So, Michelle, you said 60 days.
60 days is what from the posting on your credit card bill. It's not necessarily from the purchase, but when that charge appears on your bill.
So, very conceivably, if you're in the habit of paying off your credit card every month, you may have even already paid for that, but you can still file that. Okay.
Yep. We've had a number of furniture stores that have gone out of business very suddenly in the last 2 or 3 years. And one of the things that we do recommend is that people use their credit card because that it does provide you that additional protection. And you don't always know when you purchase whether that store is going to go under, you know, tomorrow. And we've had numerous people who have... you know, after a month or so, they call the store and say, "Hey, where's my couch or my refrigerator?" And the store is closed.
All right. Well, good luck with that, Beth, and definitely give us an update after you follow up on that. Let's go next to Mark in Madison. Hi, Mark.
Hello. Yeah, this is a great topic. I really wanted to tell some people about my experience with Match.com.
All right.
I did a free month trial membership where you have to give them your credit card number for that. That was about 2 years ago. And I realized that they were charging my credit card ever since then with something called Purchase Match and then a bunch of numbers. So it kind of, they kind of snuck another charge in there that they've been charging me for years. And when I tried to complain about it, they don't actually have an office in the United States. They only have a call center in Costa Rica.
So have you been able to get that, well, first of all, stopped, but also refunded for the those many months that you were you would not authorize
it? I couldn't get it stopped or refunded, so I just canceled the credit card, which I think is probably just a good way to do that, so they don't even have the number anymore.
Wow. Sandy, is that something, is that a similar situation to others you've heard?
I'm not sure what the charge, do you know what the charge was for, Mark? Was it for the monthly?
Yeah, it's like a monthly service to use their website.
So basically a membership.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, what I would recommend, first of all, is that you would dispute the charge with your credit card company. And sometimes the credit card companies say, well, we can't refund your money retroactively, but we'll stop it from this time forward. But in general, you really need to be careful about what you're signing up for with these online, whether it's, you know, there are a number of websites that give you that free trial membership, and unless you cancel, you're signed up for a year or two. So that may be what happened in this situation.
And Mark, had you let them know that you were not interested in continuing that after the free trial?
Yes, I thought I did after the first month, or I think it's before the first month is even over. You have to do it, but there must have been something else I didn't do or didn't click, you know, a certain loophole in their system.
Yeah, you may want to file a complaint with us. And again, the number is 1-800-422-7128. Or you can file online at our website, datcp.wi.gov. And we will act as an intermediary between you and Match.com.
And again, the link to the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is up on our Facebook page, so you can click directly there, or it is datcp.wi.gov. And good luck with that, Mark. And, you know, the situation, Sandy, not only is there the monetary issue, but it's also really stressful when you're trying to deal with all that.
It can be very stressful, and you really have to stand up for yourself and be persistent. It's also important also to document your phone calls and your emails and your letters, however you communicate with these companies, because that creates a record that can be very helpful to us if we decide to. Sometimes we see a pattern of these complaints, and then we open an investigation.
Well, and it goes back to what you were saying, Michelle, of, you know, ideally we're all checking our credit card statements every month, you know, to make sure there aren't things like that that shouldn't be there, or, you know, or a purchase that should be $50 and yet it's coming in at $500. You know, one zero can make a big difference.
Right. And when he was first telling the story, I thought he was going to go on a path of there was this additional fee, the monthly fee that he had that he didn't want for the free trial, but then another small $395 fee that was from another offset of the company. And that's what we call cramming, those small little monthly charges that you don't authorize that may come as a result, a travel club, a buyer's club, some small something that you had no idea, didn't believe you authorized. And those $495s add up over months and years if you don't notice them. So really paying attention to all those details.
Right. And, you know, it's never easy to admit that, for instance, Mark didn't notice those charges, things like that. But it's so important that people share those experiences with each other and with the Bureau, too.
Because, as I said, we do see patterns of complaints filed, and we do have authority to take action by filing a lawsuit in court, and can obtain judgments that provide restitution for consumers. So it's very important to file a complaint. Stand up for yourself.
Great. Thanks for that call. And let's go next to Anne in Wales. Hi, Anne.
Hi. I'm calling about credit scores.
All right.
Is there a place online or in print that you can find out how they calculate a credit score? What things are good? I mean, and what compiles? What factors compile to create your credit score? As an example, I overheard just a bit of what you were saying about credit balances on charge accounts. Now, I heard that it's good to have a lot of credit cards with credit balances, and you said, no, that's negative. And so, because I've held on to credit cards that I really don't use, and only because I was told if you cancel those credit cards, your credit scores go down. And we pay all our credit cards off each month in total. And I don't have as high a credit score as I think I should have.
All right. So basically what elements are going into the credit score, their weighting, things like that.
Right. And we're not going to pretend to be credit counselors or credit score experts, but we do have a fact sheet, a piece of information that can help direct you to resources to be able to research and look into this. You can call our 800 number or go online to our website to look at those fact sheet informations, or, you know, talk to your banker about it as well. That could be a good resource. Credit counseling is what you're looking for. But again, as Sandy said, our 800 number is 1-800-422-7128, or you go to our website at datcp.wisconsin.gov and look at those credit fact sheets that we have. And we can also link you to the Department of Financial Institutions that really goes and gives information on credit scores.
And on the break, we'll get that link up to that fact sheet on the Facebook page, so it'll be accessible. Sandy, did you want to add anything?
I just wanted to say that these credit reporting agencies are largely regulated at the federal level, and there is a push for additional transparency on how those credit scores are figured out, because everybody's interested and it kind of controls our lives, you know. So the Federal Trade Commission, which is the nation's consumer protection agency, has been putting pressure on the credit reporting agencies to be more transparent about how it calculates the credit scores. Mm-hmm.
Great. We'll get some information up on that during the break. Bonnie sent an email. Can you tell me how long a provider has to bill you for a service? I had services done back in May, and I still have not received a bill on what was done. I don't think that I need to call them.
Well, there isn't anything in the law that says how long it needs to be. But I will say, depending upon how you were may have received it, they may think you have the bill if it was a mailing. Uh-huh. I will admit that this fall, we had a service company in to just do some regular maintenance and check. And a month went by and I didn't get a bill. And I was pretty curious about that because I wanted to get everything all corrected. And I called and, oh, no, we sent that 2 weeks ago. Well, I never received it. So it's lost somewhere out there in that mail. And the mail doesn't get lost all too often, but this happened too. So you may want to follow up, because if they think they've billed you, you could be responsible for that bill.
And I've had the experience where, because I was in email contact with, say, a contractor or something, they attached the invoice to the email, and I just didn't notice that little, you know, paperclip icon. And so I had the invoice but didn't realize I did. So even though, Bonnie, you might be hoping that they just never remember, probably better to get in touch. Well, we are talking today with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Ryan, and they're from the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, talking about being savvy consumers, avoiding scams, or what to do if we've been cheated. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller, and coming up after a look at the news, we'll talk about some current scams going around Wisconsin and what we should look for. So I hope you'll stay tuned. More soon. Right now, we are talking about consumer protection with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And let's go to Joe in Monona, because he has a question about something that I know we wanted to get to after the break. So, Joe, thanks for waiting. And what's your question?
Oh, hi. Well, thanks for taking my call. Actually, in May, I'm calling, I'm like, to tell you something about my parents. In late May, I was gone on the road for business. And my parents received a phone call from a place in Grimes, Iowa, called AquaCare, who specialize in walk-in tubs and showers for the elderly. And my father is 89, my mother's 84. They are on the national do not call list, but kind of don't understand what that means. So they took the call. These people come to their house and want to sell them a $20,000 bathroom. Walk-in shower, toilet, sinks, floors, you name it. My parents said, we don't have that kind of cash. So the salesperson said, well, if you sign today, we'll give it this $20,000 bathroom to you for $14,000. So they felt really pressured. They signed today. And then like a week later, they start to tell us about it, my wife and I, and we got really nervous, asked them how they hired this company, and they said that they were called. Then we got even more nervous. So we started doing some investigations on the place and found a ton of complaints on the internet about AquaCare USA. And it was just unbelievable. I called the place to say that, you know, they want out of this contract. They gave them the place wanted a $5,000 deposit. But they said they didn't have that much in their account, so the place said to my parents, well, how much do you have? So I think they gave them $1,400. And then the company says, we can't let them out of this. It's a custom-made this, and which it's not. But they told me that they were going to put a lien against my parents' property if they didn't follow through with the $14,000, which I think is illegal in the state of Wisconsin, isn't it?
Sandy? Or Michelle?
Well, depending upon the contract, for failure to make payments, you can file a lien, but consumers also have a right to cancel certain transactions depending upon where they take place over the phone or at your away from a regular place of business, so at the home. So your parents, they may have the 3-day right to cancel or Home Improvement Code also gives you a right to cancel for failure to perform. So there may be lots of scenarios that are going on here, Joe, and we're going to want you to file a complaint about this if you haven't already done so.
I have the paperwork here.
Excellent.
I've got to get to it.
And so, Joe, did they actually do any work, or is this all in the theoretical stage?
It's supposed to be 6 to 8 weeks out. And the place is kind of unbelievable. They one of the people told me that this is typical of children of the elderly because we want a bigger inheritance.
So yeah, so turning it around on you.
Yeah, trying to make me feel guilty, and then the owner threatening to take me to court. Mm-hmm. And I said, but I didn't sign the contract. You can't take me to court. And then even on their contract where it says about a lien on the property, they crossed that off.
Hmm.
The salespeople did.
Okay.
So, yeah, I hear a number of things that we'd be very interested in looking into more deeply. So if you would file a complaint, we would follow up on that right away. We have seen an increase over the last few months in complaints about door-to-door salesmen, and we wonder if it's partly because of no-call. You know, they don't really have an avenue other than door-to-door now. But that high-pressure pitch is really, really difficult for some people to resist. And we recommend not letting these salesmen into your home because it sounds like this is what happened to your parents. The pitch became so aggressive that they were afraid to say no, leave my house.
Well, and I think all of us, our blood boils hearing about the elderly being taken advantage of, but it's certainly a very common thing, isn't it, Sandy?
Well, it is. And we do have a law that provides additional protection to the elderly. It's a penalty enhancer for people who prey on the elderly. So another reason why we're interested in hearing more about this.
Now, I doubt if it would make a big difference, but Michelle, the fact that his parents are on the no-call list and this company violated that, does that come into play at all in strengthening the complaint?
Well, that'll be an added factor that we take a look at. We definitely will be checking in on the other consumer calls that they may be making in violation of no-call. So just one of the many factors Sandy mentioned with this type of complaint, because we have some direct marketing issues from the conversation, the scenario Joe's laid out. We have the no-call list. We have home improvement contractor law factored in here. So, and then the enhancement with an elderly. Mm-hmm. There's lots of different situations.
So Joe is going to file a complaint with, mm-hmm. with the department, but what, if anything, should he be communicating to the business? Should he tell the business, look, I'm filing this complaint? You know, is there anything that he can do maybe to get the company to agree to cancel the contract?
Right. One thing, Joe, if you don't have, either go online or call our 800 number to get, is a copy of the home improvement fact sheet and administrative code, because in there it lays out what conditions a consumer can cancel a home improvement contract and how you need to go about doing it in writing, where you mail it, and kind of what should be stated. And if you haven't already, then one thing you will want to do is cancel that contract or, you know, seek legal advice and consult with an attorney about where you're at, especially given the amount of money
right.
involved in this right. situation.
I wonder if there's any way that they would be able to get that deposit back, even if they're able to stop the rest of the contract.
That's one thing we're going to be looking at in order to help and assist them.
Well, Joe, I'm sure you're going to follow up with that complaint, but definitely do. And we would really like to hear an update on that in a month or two. Let us know how that turned out. You can join the conversation by calling 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller and talking with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And we had a caller earlier in the show. You mentioned, Sandy, that having a case that will prevent the chip on your passport from being scanned at a distance. Do you have a sense, just in general, where people can get those passport protectors?
You can get them at just about any travel store, office supply store, just look for RFID, radio frequency identification, RFID protection, or RFID blocking.
Okay, great. And another caller asked if you can mention the numbers for requesting a consumer credit report. And Dave Potrez, our on-air producer, found credit report request service at 877-322-8228. And you can also call the Michelle's saying no.
If you want your free credit report, which is what I think consumers are looking for, the free credit report you can get once a year, you want to go to annualcreditreport.com. That's where consumers are entitled by law, federal law, once a year to obtain a free credit report from each of them.
I'm guessing that they might have been asking for a phone number because they are not online.
Okay, and the phone number is 1-877-322-8228.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So that is the one I was getting. Okay. All right. Great. So again, annualcreditreport.com or 877-322-8228. Great. And let's go back to the phones. And Bob in Franklin is next. Hi, Bob.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I am looking at buying some recreational land. So it has no house or buildings or anything. Is there anything that I need to be concerned about to protect myself?
All right. Michelle?
Actually, I honestly have no idea because we don't administer the sale of land or have any jurisdiction over that type of transaction. So you may want to consult with an attorney or talk with the real estate agent that you might be working with to purchase that land about things you need to consider.
I think one thing to keep in mind is that if there's any environmental damage potential, like say there's, you know, a buried septic system or if it was some kind of a dump, that the new landowner can be responsible for that abatement, so that might be something. But so where would you recommend that Bob goes, Michelle?
Again, talking with the real estate agent that he may be working with, given the factors that you said, maybe you could check the Department of Natural Resources to see what they have out there about land.
All right. Thanks for that call, Bob. And we wanted to touch on some of the current scams that are making the rounds in Wisconsin so people can be aware and on guard if they happen to run across them. One is a utility scam. Sandy, what's that about?
We have heard from people all over the state about this scam. And somebody will call claiming to be from your local utility company saying that you need to pay your bill or we're going to shut off your power, which is, you know, frightening. And then they always say, go to Walmart or Walgreens and get one of those Green Dot Money Pack prepaid debit cards and give us the number over the phone. The interesting thing about this particular scam is that it seems to be targeting Latino consumers, and I don't understand why that is. But that's kind of an interesting twist to this. Utility scams have popped up every once in a while, you know, for the last year and a half or so. But for some reason in the last month, it's just been happening all over the state.
And I think I remember reading that often these calls come on the weekends when you can't actually check with your utility because they don't have business hours.
Right. Their phone lines or their phone centers are down over the weekends. And so then you don't want to lose right now your air conditioning for the weekend when the temperatures are insane. So you're going to do whatever you're told.
Scammers love those money pack, Green Dot Money Pack prepaid debit cards, because if you read the number off the back to them, they can drain it immediately and it's impossible to reverse the transaction or in most cases track the thief down. So if anybody calls you out of the blue and asks you to get one of those Green Dot cards, whether it's a lottery scam or somebody claiming to be your grandchild in trouble, that should raise a red flag.
And so for those of us that aren't familiar with them, so basically you go to Walmart and you hand over $100 and then you get a debit card with the value of $100 or probably a little less with some kind of fee.
And there's a number on the back and a pin, and you can give that number to anyone. It allows them to access the money that's on the card.
So probably people that use those are people that do not have more kind of traditional banking accounts and access to their funds
that's
in that way.
That's true, yes.
All right. And also a lottery press release scam is going around. Michelle?
Yeah, this is one that we've heard from consumers about through Wisconsin Lottery, that several players have been contacted about winning a special drawing associated with the Mega Millions jackpot. And the callers have attempted to get these consumers to provide them with money and or personal information in order to process the big prize that they've won. But the same things that apply with every contest or lottery that we talk about in these situations. First, the special drawing in this case doesn't even exist. So it's just a thief out there trying to get this information from you. And Wisconsin Lottery has indicated that they will never contact players to tell them that the consumer has won a prize. There's very limited exceptions as to when they would do that. You will have to have entered a second chance or special event drawing. And so our same advisories that we always say, know that you will never be asked to pay a fee or collect a prize. You don't have to pay to win these special things. And you should never be caught off guard about winning something you've never entered to win in the first place. If you don't enter it, you're not going to win it.
Right.
So there's that situation. And what we've talked about since we started the program today is always think twice about giving out any personal information about yourself to an unsolicited caller. If you initiate that, it's okay. Mm-hmm. But if you're being called about it, don't give out your bank account information or your personal identification information.
These sweepstakes and lottery scams have really become prevalent, and this is one that does target the elderly for some reason. But just remember that a legitimate sweepstakes or lottery will not ask you for an upfront fee or, you know, to process your winnings.
And what about a travel check scam, Sandy?
Travel check scams. We've had a number of people who report that they've gotten a check in the mail for free travel, and the checks look legitimate, but they're actually fake. The consumer's told to call a toll-free number to receive their free trip, but it's really a ploy to get their credit card. And again, they'll say, well, to get your free trip, we'll need your credit card number for the, you know, the port fees or, you know, airport departure fee. And of course, once they have your credit card number, they can charge whatever they want to.
And so when you say travel check, is it like a voucher? Is that what it looks like?
It looks like an actual check made out in your name. And if you took it to a bank, they might be fooled briefly, but it's a fake check.
And then also, you've been hearing about HomeServe USA solicitations. What's that about, Michelle?
What this is a very large mailer that went out to consumers around the state of Wisconsin, and it appears to be an offering for an insurance plan for the homeowner's exterior water service line. So the line that goes from basically the road to your home, and homeowners are often responsible should any damage be done to that water line. So it is a insurance product that's being sold from what we can tell, but consumers are concerned as far as the representation that it may look like it's coming from the government or the local utility or who is it that's doing this sale. And consumers just need to understand that it's an insurance product. They need to make a decision as to whether or not this is an insurance they need. They should speak to their current insurance company to see if they have that coverage or not.
And it seems like it might be part of homeowners insurance.
It could very well be part of your homeowner's insurance plan. And so do you need this, what would probably be additional coverage, or do you need the coverage at all? What's the likelihood? I mean, you need to do that evaluation, and don't let a mailer scare you into a decision that may seem urgent or that there's a change in something. Just mm-hmm. make decisions calmly and with time and research.
And as it seems like comes up in almost every show, the storm chasers. Sandy, what are you seeing for people that are taking advantage of natural disasters?
Well, we put out a warning given the flood damage in southwestern Wisconsin. Every summer, these transient crews come in, you know, following the path of a storm where there's been a natural disaster. Just be very wary of any contractor that knocks on your door, especially if they're driving an unmarked truck. Call your local law enforcement to see whether they know that these people are in the neighborhood. You know, most local jurisdictions require some kind of a credential or permit to go door to door. And then, just as Michelle just said, take your time to make a good decision. If you're thinking about using a contractor, ask them for local references. And we do believe, because we see people burned by these transient crews every year, we do believe that using a local company is absolutely the best way to go, because they're more likely to be there in a month or right. 6 months or a year to make good on warranties or, you know, just answer your questions if you have mm-hmm. questions about the workmanship or materials that were used.
And let's take a quick call from Jose in Delafield. Hi, Jose.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I got my issue resolved, but I thought it would be good to share my experience.
Sure.
But I through AOL.com, one thing they're doing now is when you're reading news, they will slip an advertisement there, and you will see something that looks interesting. You start reading it as if it's a news, and then find out that it's actually a company that's selling a product. And this had to do with learning a language. And so they were offering, I think it was just not a trial, actually. It was just a disc. You pay 50%, $9.99, I think it was. And so you watch this video. It's really interesting how it works and, you know, how the government is using some government agencies like the CIA. I can't remember the detail exactly, but the FBI, that's how they teach their agents a new language. And so it's really interesting. It's a 20-minute video, and then you come up with this page where you can order the disc for $9.99, and obviously it's great graphics. And so you try to read as much as you can, but you know, in parentheses they have a little asterisk that tells you that you will join the monthly club again. And so you don't really realize that until after 60 days you get more product, and mm-hmm. then you go to your credit card company and then find out that they're charging you $180 every 60 days.
We're getting really short on time, Jose, and thank you so much for sharing that, because that really reinforces what we were talking about earlier, Sandy, that, you know, you think you're getting this one month free or this one product at half price, but really unless you're really careful, you're committing yourself to a lot more.
You have to read the fine print, whether you're shopping online or by mail or in a catalog. Make sure you understand what you're agreeing to up front before you provide your credit card number.
And I've noticed exactly what Jose was saying, that when I look at the headlines on Yahoo, all of a sudden there are sponsored, I like how they call them, sponsored links that are basically ads interspersed with the news. So we have to be really careful, Michelle.
You do. And you used to see that and you still do with magazines and things. It will say editorial or advertisement or whatever the lingo is. You just have to pay attention to what you're reading and using as your source.
And very quickly, as we're ending here, Sandy, why don't you give the phone number again for people to contact the department and give a consumer complaint?
Sure. You can call our consumer hotline. It's 1-800-422-7128. Or you can file a complaint online at our department website, datcp.wi.gov.
Sandy and Michelle, thanks as always for spending time with us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And coming up tomorrow, Larry will be back and he'll be talking with Dr. Sandy Sawchuk from the UW School of Veterinary Medicine. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Thanks so much for listening and stay tuned to the Ideas Network.